everybody, to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten.
And I am your other host, Celia Behar.
Nice to see you, Celia.
Nice to see you, Jody. Like, I haven't seen you every fucking day over the last 3 days.
Also, right, we've also been here at my house now for the last few hours. But I just...
It's fine.
I just wanted to reiterate how nice it is to see you.
My laundry's in the, you know, in the machine it's as true, per yeah. usual. And you had my kid yesterday and...
Yeah, yeah. That's just what we do.
I know.
Which actually...
Is the topic of today? Well, do you have a never thought I had to go with it? Because that's something that we actually... We didn't come up with.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you kind of have one in the sense of, you know.
Well, I never thought that I would say that the nuclear family was a mistake, but that is mm-hmm. the title of an article that I read in The Atlantic by David Brooks.
Yep.
And I actually am fascinated with it and kind of agree.
Well, you were telling me about it before we started and
before, right, I'm going to get into it. Right. So before everyone
freaks out
and like that, just wait until we get into it and you're going to realize why I'm saying what I said.
Right. Well, and let's back up because we've joked for a long time.
Did we get into this all fucked? We got into it all fucked up.
No, I think it's fine. No,
I mean, it's too late now.
Everything whatever. We get into is all fucked up. What are you talking about? They're this just going to roll with it and it's going to be a whole thing.
That's true.
You know, before Jody and I had the podcast, we've talked about it before. We met through a support group online that Allison Porter and I run called The Little Mamas, and that, which is also a website. And that we joke in The Little Mamas all the time about how we want to have a mom mutant. That's what we call it, right?
Right.
We're like, we feel so isolated as moms. We talk about that a lot on the podcast. And we're like, wouldn't it be awesome if we could get this like big piece of property and we just all live on it. And we all, I mean, you have your own stuff, like a commune. You have your own, or a moshav if you're in Israel. That's right. I threw down a little Israel
there stuff. You go. I thought it was a kibbutz, no?
No, a kibbutz is different than a moshav. A kibbutz is actually like very joint living. Like you would be in like bunk beds and you know,
okay,
and
right,
all
right,
live
right.
together in like one sort of space.
Right.
Whereas a moshav is a, bless you, Emily, is a,
and also you. A muffled sound.
I know. It's like,
background.
We know you're here. Emily just sneezed.
Right, yeah. Like, poor Emily was like, oh, she literally was going to, she was going to hold that in until her head exploded so as not to ruin our podcast.
They know you're here. We talk about you all the time.
And it's already ruined. It's too late.
Yeah. We do that all on our own. Moshav, you have it's like a community where everyone has their own house, but it's like a sort of closed off community, but everyone does something different. So one family might raise chickens, the other one grows vegetables, like, and then you all kind of come together and bring in what you have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's just like a co-op sort of
thing. Exactly. Which I think works better.
Let me explain what I mean by this.
Please.
So I actually just read two really interesting articles of which I am going to cite the sources because we are nothing if not professional. I never thought I'd say this.
That's right.
No, but I do, you know, if I read an article, if I read something, I do like to give credit where credit is due.
I like to steal it personally and pretend I'm smarter than I am, but you go for it.
Yeah, no, I will fully admit that this was not my idea. But no, it was an article in The Atlantic online by David Brooks called The Nuclear Family Was a Mistake. And then there was another piece that I read that sort of dovetailed kind of nicely with it, interviewing this feminist author, Sophie Lewis. And that was on Vice.com. And it was an article on February 21st of this year by Marie Solis. And it was a really interesting thing because it's something you and I have talked about before. Mm-hmm. Which is that sort of the idea of what family is, particularly today, has shifted so much. It's just changed so radically.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about, and I mean we, you know, the royal we as in just people in general, of which I am including myself in people. So
that's a plus.
But when we talk about that, like the nuclear family, it's, you know, sort of the idea that we have of like mom and dad and 2.5 kids or whatever. And that was like this weird ideology and family system that kind of came together and was really made important in like the 50s and through the mid 60s.
Right.
And that it was actually really unique for the time because up until that point, like centuries and centuries, most people sort of lived in much more loosely family knit structures and communities.
Yeah.
And so there was always extended family. There was cousins, there was aunties, there was uncles. Most households up until that point lived in like 30s and 40s, lived in multi-generational households.
Yeah, and this in other countries, that's still the case.
Right, and this is particularly true, I think, for Americans, yes. Is that, you know, we tend to isolate
yes.
that nuclear family, and that was sort of the ideal was when, and it really came about as, like, economic stuff, that, you know, housing was more affordable to buy individual family houses, so you would have, you know, your nice little suburban house with mom and dad and kids and whatever, but that was really a departure from what it had been previously, which was large, you know, there were like commercial families, which meant like, you know, farming, you had like 17, 18 kids and they were all doing work or whatever. But
my sister still does that.
So, right.
She's right behind the 17, 18,
but,
10.
But the nuclear family, we always think of it. And I think, you know, particularly in politics and things like that, like that's sort of this quote unquote ideal to go back to.
Yeah.
And it's really not at all. It's right. this myth that came about as a result of like so many factors that had really nothing to do with family, but had a lot to do with economics and all this kind of stuff that, you know, Sophie Lewis, this feminist writer, and David Brooks are really talking about, that getting back to the sense of community and extended family, whether it's actual blood relatives or, you know, kin, which can be loosely defined as people that you've grown up with right. or that are, you know, loosely connected sort of quote unquote family members, that actually is the source for helping to alleviate anxiety and depression and isolation and all of these things. Because we don't think about it how, you and I have yes. talked about it, but how we put such pressure on ourselves, particularly being single moms,
yep.
That somehow we have to do it all ourselves because mm-hmm. we have failed at, you know, the ideal,
at
the
yeah,
nuclear
yeah.
family yeah. idea and all of this stuff, and mm-hmm. that we have to do it ourselves and we have to be the end-all be-all to our kids. And what it was talking about is that bringing in, you know, whether it is grandparents or cousins or your best friends or, you know, your teachers or whatever it is, to bring in that sense of community and
right. help,
and use that village mentality to not only raise kids but to support each other, and how far away we've gotten from community. And even within our own households, people are more isolated now, because, you know, it used to be everyone came together to watch one TV. Now then it was everyone had their own TVs. Now it was not only do we all have our own TVs, but we all have our own phones.
Yeah.
And just that further isolation away from the sense of community. But I found it really interesting in reading both of these articles and finding how they kind of complemented each other. And, you know, it sounds drastic when you know, the nuclear family was a mistake. But what he delves into is really the isolation of it and how we've told ourselves now for generations and generations that that is the best way to have a family. And it really isn't. And, you know, when I was reading it too, I felt like, it's like Full House
yeah.
and Fuller House.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I always heard people who loved the show who related to it say was, I grew up in a family that didn't have, you know, maybe mom and dad and whatever, but it was my grandparents raising us
right.
or my aunt raising us or, you know, my mom and her best friend or whatever it was. And that's actually a much more sort of community way to raise families that actually has a lot more success.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought it was a really interesting thing to talk about.
Because
I know you and I, yeah, like you said, you and I have joked about having like a mommy.
Oh my gosh, Jody, my love of TV has just greatened over this entire time. How about you?
Oh, mine is blossoming into a beautiful, beautiful flower of television watching.
Well, if you
whatever
love,
that means.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that that's exactly what it means. And what it also means is that if you love TV, but you hate the size of a cable bill, that Philo is your solution. Yes, it is. Philo is live and on demand for just $20 a month. And I love Philo because it's got Nick Jr., Discovery Kids, Animal Planet, and a ton of other things, including the Hallmark Channel, in case, you know somebody on the Hallmark Channel that you'd like to see do a movie.
You know,
maybe
in case you do, just in case. And I do love that it has all those kids channels, because those are things that you can't get on a lot of other services.
Yeah, it's really great. It also has classics. It's got Law and Order and Friends and The Office. And couldn't we all use some classics right now, you know, just to make us feel better? Also, couldn't we all learn, you know, or use, you know, hundreds of dollars more so you can save that much a month when you're using this, because it's just so affordable and you can watch at any time, wherever you want. And you don't have to fight with your kids about who gets to watch what, because you can have three simultaneous streams going. So you don't have to fight about who, you know, gets to watch what show, which I totally love.
Yeah, so over fighting over who gets to watch what.
Oh my God, it's so good. And you can watch on your phone, your laptop, TV, Roku, Apple TV, doesn't matter.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
It's really amazing. Everyone should try it, because now more than ever, Philo believes that great TV shouldn't cost an arm and a leg and should be accessible to everyone, and saving money shouldn't mean giving up the shows and the channels that you love. Philo is TV for everyone. Sign up today at philo.tv/say this and you'll get 25% off of your first 2 months. That's philo.tv/say this. Again, that's philo.tv/say this and get 25% off of your first 2 months.
I grew up with, you know, obviously my siblings, my younger sister and I were super, super close. My older sister and I were not. My dad wasn't so much involved. My stepdad was, but my parents were like really not home. We were total latchkey kids in my house, but my grandparents lived down the street. And so I grew up with my grandparents around all the time. And they were like the very stable people in my life. And having my kids out here where, you know, I moved out here to be closer to Julie.
Right.
And that's the relationship that me and my younger sister, you know, Julie had together. And then having her pass away has been so, like, that's been so devastating to my family, because my kids only really have ever had Aunt Julie.
Right.
Like, they're not close to their grandmother. They're not close to their grandfather.
Right.
So that version of extended family fell apart, what we had.
And in this article too, I love that it talked about that it doesn't have to be blood relatives.
Right.
That one of the really important things is just having other, you know, adult relationships, whether it be that your kids have relationships with them or that you do, or, you know, all of these sort of shifting moving pieces of family or, you know, communal relationships.
Well, so when we were, because we spent Thanksgiving together, you and I think we're on like year four or year three of
something
being
like that
together
and
your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at your parents' house this year, and, you know, Lulu had gone up to your mom and gave her a big hug and told her how happy she was that she got to be there every Thanksgiving and how much she loves, you know, your mom and your dad. And your mom came up to me afterward and was like, oh my God, Lulu was just so sweet. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that I'm the closest thing they have to a grandparent.
Yeah.
And, you know, around here.
Right.
Because there are their grandparents on their dad's side live in Vermont. And
right.
I was like, yeah. And that is, they think of, you know, like, and they get sometimes, like, both of them I've seen when they feel like, you know, your kids don't realize how lucky they are that that Grammy and Papa here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, they don't understand. Like, that's so, they're so lucky, you know? And I'm like, well, but so are you, because they're here for you too.
Right.
And then certainly, as our relationship, you know, has become what it is, and we become more like sisters, because, and I know we joke about it, but, like, honestly, we've never talked about this on the podcast, but, like, what people don't know is that, you know, Jody and I became friends, really close friends, when Julie got sick, but there's weird shit that you do that Julie did, and you guys never met. But it's like super fucking weird. Like, she'll just do something, and I'm like the other day we were talking about like stupid shit, and you're like, I don't know, we have like barnacles growing on us, and I was like, what? Because my sister would always say that when she get like a zit or like a rash, she'd be like, I have barnacles on my face, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why would you say that? But like little things, like, you know, just what things that you're drawn to. Inevitably, if I wear something and you're like, oh, I love that, I'm like, that was Julie's.
Mm.
Like, where I wouldn't have picked it out. I wear it because it's my sister's, but you're drawn to it. And I remember even talking to Julie before she died, about you, and Julie didn't like most people, to be fair.
I thought you were gonna say, and Julie didn't like you.
Well, she never met you.
That's true.
But she was always like really weird and possessive. And you happened to, we were having this really deep talk, and you happened to write me while we were sitting there talking. And I said, and you asked if she needed anything. And I said, Jody wants to know if you need anything. And she goes, I need to know that she's got you when I go. And I said, she does. And she was like, that's all I need.
Well, that was a fucking assumption.
What? She was good at, well, she thought she was gonna live past 42, too. Fucking idiot. Like, what did she know? Yeah. But it was always weird to me that she, in the last, like, 2 months of her life, like, not knowing you, she right. always, like, sort of was like, oh, no, I, like, Jody's cool.
Well,
I like Jody.
And, I, you know, I have talked about it, too. Like, because, you know, I have gone through divorce and all of these things, you sort of feel guilty that, yeah. you know, you don't have that perfect little life or whatever it's supposed right. to look like. But in the years since that, what I realized that I've created is actually sort of that family that I always wanted.
Yeah.
Which was a large extended family. You know, I was an only child and it was me and my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always had this attraction to larger, bigger families and sort of the chaos that, you know, kind of
that
went along with
it, yeah.
Well, that just the people coming and going and lots
well, I'm
of
sure
different
full, I'm sure Full House had something to do with that
well,
too.
That
you
was,
guys became such a family.
Exactly. And yeah. so I've always been really fortunate that I have had sort of these surrogate families that I've been a part of or that I've created. And you know, the family and the friendships that I've created with the group of friends and the people I have in my life now is really, really special. But it's not just for me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a huge piece of the girls' experience and their
yeah.
growing up. And I know that they will look back on these times and be really grateful for all of the aunties that loved them and the, you know, the friends that were in their lives that were mom's friends, but that genuinely cared about them. And, you know, they would go and have experiences with and go do fun things with. And that's really important. And I love the reminder that we are far more communal than we think. You know what I mean? Like just
yes.
that reminder that like, yes, it's nice to have, you know, the family in your house, but also what's almost equally as important is that outside village and support group of other people.
Yeah. And,
because
and
we
I
all
think
get
we do
burnt
that
out. And
kids.
Sometimes
yeah.
when you're like, I just can't do this anymore. Like here, I need to hand this off for a
right.
minute. That's okay.
Yeah. But that's been hard, I think, for both of us to learn. And also, I mean, and even to lean, like, on each other. I mean, you were having a tough day the other day, and I was like, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to come by real fast. And I just told my kids, I was like, I'm leaving for, like, 10 minutes. I'm just going to, like, run over to Jody's for a second.
You also sent me a picture of your butt.
I was wondering when that was going to come up.
You literally mooned me in a picture because I was having a terrible day. And first of all, I responded. You said something to me, and I just said, okay. And you were like, ew, you just caved.
I know.
And I think I just texted back, sorry. Like, I was
listen,
such
first
a bad
of all, everybody in the world knows that if you just respond with K, period, not even K. K is like, okay, you know, that's fast. If you're like K and you took the time to be like, period.
I didn't take the time to put a period, though.
You did. And that's why
I
was like.
I would
like
to blame autocorrect for that one. Because
yeah, you know
I
it. Everybody knows it. If somebody responds to you with K, period, that is, fuck you. That is the equivalent of the middle finger. I don't care what you say. Everybody fucking knows that. So you basically were like, K. And so
yeah, and then
like,
you were like,
ew,
gross. And I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
I just said, no, I was not. So then
I knew you were in a bad, I was like, she's in
a
bad
mood. I was
in a
really bad mood. I was like, I just can't deal with anything right now. And then like 20 minutes later, I was like, is that, oh my God, is that a picture of her butt? It really is.
Okay. Well,
and
let me
like, ha ha ha. Just
I said, I sent you a picture of my butt and I wrote, I love you. I
have
my butt. I wrote, I love you this much, and I mooned you. Let me just tell you on my side, though, what was happening. My kids were in the kitchen while I was doing that, like, doing dishes and other stuff. They were not around, right?
Okay, right.
I dropped my pants in the living room, and I'm trying to get the perfect picture of not only my butt, but me giving you
the finger. It was, yeah.
Near my butt. And I do it like 3 times and then I look up and Harper is come into the room without me realizing and she's just standing there looking at me like, what the actual fuck are you doing? And I look at her and lose my shit completely and my pants are still down and I'm laughing hysterically and I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, what are you doing? Why are you taking a picture of your butt?
I'm bringing joy, damn it.
I just go, why do you think? And she goes, I don't know. I have like one of two answers. And I go, Jesus Christ, you should only have one fucking answer. There's only one answer, because whatever you're thinking on the other answer is like way perverted and I don't want to know what it is. Like, and she's like, well, it's not for like dating, right? And I was like, no!
Like, no, it's for my friend.
And so then she just goes right away, oh, it's for Jody.
It's for Jody.
And yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm taking a picture of my butt for Jody. I was like, what, you don't do that for Carly? Like, you're not, no? And she was like, Jesus, Mom. And then walked out of the room.
Yeah, you got judged.
I got totally judged.
I will say, I was in such a bad mood that even the butt picture, really, I was like,
ugh. Well, then you leave me a voice memo and you're like, I don't even know what that was. Was that your butt? I think that was your butt. Like, and I was like, Jesus, what the fuck else would it be? Like, I mean, what? So, like, honestly.
But no. Again, to bring this back around, it's from your cabbages. Butt to the point.
What was the point?
Your butt, apparently.
My butt is always the point.
It's always the point. No, but, you know, those sorts of moments and relationships and the ability to lean on other people, I think, is something
butt.
That on their butt. Yes, the ability to lean on your best friend's butt.
Yep.
But I mean, it's, you know, we give ourselves so much guilt. I mean, I'm totally guilty of it when I am like, just I feel like I can't do anymore, yeah. And I'm like, I have to tap out for a little bit. I'm just stressed or I'm whatever, not dealing. And there's nothing wrong as a mom or as a parent to leaning on the people around you and the people in your life. And that's really what family is. Yeah. Family isn't, it's not a piece of paper. It's not a, you know, it's a commitment to the well-being of each other.
Yes.
And that can take many forms. I mean, you know, the LGBTQ community has created forged families for a very long time because they did not have, you know, a lot of them were kicked out of families of their own. So they would form families. And I have always loved that idea of surrounding yourself with the people that you need.
Yeah.
And not always the people that you're born to, you know. And I'm incredibly lucky in that my parents are amazing and I love them. And they have, I mean, I couldn't have done any of this, you know, without the support of my parents, who have been really fantastic. But it is, you know, it's a different beast when it's your best friend or something like that that's going through some stuff that you need to step in and help.
Right. Well, I don't have that. And honestly, like, anyone who grew up with me will tell you that, you know, I thought
you meant you didn't have like a friend. And I was like, literally the look on my face,
that.
I was like,
yeah, she was like, fuck off.
What?
No.
Like, you don't have that? You have.
I met your parents. Yes. Jesus. I mean, I feel very lucky that I have your parents in my life now as well.
Yeah. My parents are kind of the surrogate mom and dad for a lot of my friends.
Yeah. They
and
are.
I love that.
And I was always sort of, I mean, my sister as well, I can't speak for my older sister, but definitely for my younger sister, like, there were always families that sort of took us in because we were such latchkey kids.
Right.
So, like, I talked about it at the live show. My friend Ethan Malesky showed up. I used to be at his house, like, all the time because, you know, my mom would kick me out. So I would go and stay there and his family would take me in. And, you know, my friend Nicole Commercio would take me in. And now I have people here, like, you know, we'll come here. Me and the girls go up to Malibu to be with our friends Lisa and Dave all the time. And we'll have dinner together and we sleep over there. And, you know, Harper bonds with Dave, Lisa's husband, who I've become really close to too. And, you know, the little girls go and play together. Their daughter Jordan and Lulu go play. And we are like, this is so nice. It's like, that's another, you know, sort of family that I can bring them into. And obviously they feel that way about, you know, you.
Yeah.
I mean, we texted each other at the exact same time. I picked up my phone to text you yesterday to say, Lulu is really freaking out. She misses B so much. She can't deal with it. They haven't seen each other in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And before I even could, you texted, you're like, B is asking for Lulu. Like, yeah. I have to get them together. And that's so nice that they have learned to count on, you know, and know that that's family now.
Right.
Because they don't have any, you know, they've got their dad and their soon to be stepmom, but they don't have any real nuclear family here. They've learned to count on you.
Wait.
Oh God, what?
Do you say nuclear instead of nuclear?
What did I say? Oh, did I?
You said
I didn't mean to. But yes.
I just wondered if that was like a thing that you do all the time.
No, it's not.
Okay, because I'm silently judging you, but I'm not.
No,
I'm
totally not actually out loud. But I've said so many words wrong today that I don't even know where to start. Like,
it's okay. I'm going to let go.
You can't. I mean, you totally could. I would judge somebody for that also, but
how do you say library?
Oh, please don't even start.
Okay, I'm just checking. Just checking.
No, that was, or ask for that matter. It's all those. Yeah.
Well, but there's
library. No, I don't say library.
Okay.
That's what you're going to ask
that's
me.
That's what
no, I'm saying. Telling you, I can't speak today. We've had in an earlier episode, I said something wrong. We did 8 times today because I can't talk. I don't know what my problem is. You know why? Because I honestly.
It's because you don't have a nuclear family.
It's because I don't have a nuclear family. That's exactly right. I can't. Deal with my, it's because I didn't shower. I'm telling you, a shower for me is like coffee. And if I don't do it, I'm not fully awake. And I took yoga instead since we started earlier today. And I threw on makeup and a lot of native deodorant and came over here, no lie. And my brain is not fucking working.
But that's anywho, what you can do with family.
That's true. Well, listen, they don't, my kids don't have, a lot of, you know, family members in general. We're getting closer to their cousins, but that's hard right. too because, you know, Julie's gone, but it's nice to have them at all you guys.
Why
here.
Do you think it
I don't
is
talk to
that,
my mom? What you want?
No, that, no, Bon Bon is not involved in this.
Okay, good.
Jody, what are you doing right now?
You know what I'm doing.
Oh my gosh, are you playing Best Fiends?
Yes.
You are?
I am. You got me totally hooked on this thing. And I'm so into this game right now that you're really distracting me.
I know.
So,
I know.
If you could please just keep it down.
Sorry. You know what? I like it too because it gives me a break, especially right now when I really need one to get my brain to stop, you know, being overactive.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. This makes my brain active in a much better way where I'm playing this awesome puzzle as opposed to, you know, reading things that make me anxious. It's such a good escape.
It's great. And it's like calming and soothing and fun and entertaining. And yeah, it's just kind of everything I need to like just enjoy something for a few minutes right now.
Agreed. And there are thousands of fun challenges and tons of cute characters that you collect as you play, which I totally love. I've gotten better and better at playing. I don't know if you have, but like I hit all these different levels and then you get those events. So like you get to play the different events and then nothing ever gets old. And I don't know, you know, it's for kids. My kids are playing it. Grown-ups can play it. You can play it weird in random places, like in a closet when you're, you know, recording a podcast like we were just doing.
Exactly.
You can do it. Yeah. Random times. Yep. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I actually play it while the kids are watching TV and they're watching something that I don't feel like watching. Then I can do that.
It's been, I have sat there playing it while the kids are working on their homeschooling and it's been perfect entertainment.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And I think everybody really needs some fun right now. And, you know, why not try it? Best Fiends has thousands of levels already with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips. And you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. I will leave you to your game now.
Thank you.
Why do you think it is that we put such guilt on ourselves for relying on other people in our network? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, why is it that we, because I always ask myself, like, why do I feel bad in not being the end all be all for my kids in particular? You know what I mean?
I think it's a couple things. I mean, I think, you know, it's hard to ask for help.
Well, I know that's very true.
I mean, it really is, you know, it's hard to say to somebody, I need help. I mean, I texted you last 2 weeks ago and just literally wrote help.
Right.
Which, when have I ever done that before? When I just had to come over here and like lose my shit completely over something. I don't usually ask for help. I have a really hard time about that. I know you don't. Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it because there was that 50s model setup of like, you know, Donna Reed and they just perfect and do everything and can handle everything. And you don't need a break because your hair is like perfect and it's great. And that's not it.
Well, cause it's like, I will realize that I have days around the house when I'm like I'll, you know, make the kids dinner and I do like, and everything feels so on top of it. And I'm like, this is how I'm supposed to be all the time. I have to be the one capable of handling all the things all the time.
Right.
And so then when that doesn't happen, then it's this weird like self-reflection thing. Instead of being like, well, I can just, you know, ask somebody to come over, or I can, you know, or the kids will understand, or whatever it might be. Like, it's just such, there's such guilt on the idea that that family-based system is not enough. I don't know.
Well, and I always worry that it did make sense. And I think I always worry that I'm going to be a burden on someone. I don't like to impose on anybody.
Right.
So that's one issue that I think people have, especially moms, because we're like, no, everyone's supposed to come for us or to us, and then we have to take care of them.
Right.
And that, I think, gets built into our self-worth, right? So you and I have talked about this even in regards to relationships in general. Right. It's like, if I always feel like I need to give, because that gives me a sense of control of the relationship.
Right.
And then if people rely on me and I know they need me, then they don't necessarily need to like me or want to be with me. I've just made it so that they need me. And I'm not necessarily even getting to know that person or letting them know me. I'm just giving things, which is very, very easy to do. And I think women do it a lot. And then we overfunction in relationships. Yeah. We overfunction for our kids. We overfunction in our families until you're so depleted because all you did was give and you never ask for help and you never let anything in. And that's why
really liked what Sophie Lewis was talking about in this Vice article. And it was talking about sort of the power of feminism, and until we really let go of this idea that, you know, a family is supposed to look a certain way, or that kin or that communal groups are supposed to look a certain way, we really can't empower ourselves as much as women, you know?
Yeah.
And at first I was like, wait, what is that? No, we can do it all. And then I was like, oh wait, but that's part of the thing, is that this idea that, like, yes, I can do it all, but that I have to take it all on upon myself at once.
Right.
And it was talking about, like, that idea is particularly killing women, because that's not, you know, that we are always adding and layering on, like, now I'm the carpool driver, now I'm the this driver, you know, now I have to do this and this and this, and that we really lose sort of our own feminist power because we're so busy thinking that that means that we have to do everything.
That's why I honestly love the girls' nights that we have, like, so much. Because, you know, once a month month, we'll have a thing over.
Where I just invite everybody over.
Yeah, and just a bunch of girls. And we get in, like, onesies, and we order a lot of food, and we play dumb games. Or we just sit outside and, laugh hysterically.
Yeah.
And talk about things that we can't believe we're saying out loud.
Right.
Like, squirting. But whatever, we'll go inside and another
that's,
episode.
That's someday. A topic for another
but,
day.
Yeah, that's a whole, you know, you got to get your vagina to level up. It's not a big deal.
Dying. Oh God, I'm coughing.
I won't out who has this been a thing for.
Yeah.
But listen, even when my sister passed away, you were the first person I talked to that morning at 4 in the morning, and we were sobbing. And you said to me, I feel terrible. I have to go to Canada tomorrow. I can't get out there to Portland to be with you. What do you need? And I was like, I'll need you when I get back. And without even asking me what I needed, you sent out a group text within an hour. And you were like, we're going to have a thing at my house. And you know, all of our girlfriends showed up here that, you know, I become close to through you. And that's what we did. We all got in onesies and we laughed, and I would start crying, and then we'd all start crying.
Really?
And then we'd laugh.
I did that?
Yes.
I didn't remember.
We ordered a bunch of dim sum and you know,
yeah,
we did a whole bunch of, you know, like, dumb games. I think we played Cards Against Humanity.
Always.
And it was, you know, Julie and Jody and Emma, and I think Lynn was here and Shannon was here. And
our friend Julie, not to be confused.
Yes,
not
to be confused with the ghost of my sister. Although she was probably here too. Who the fuck knows?
Right. Yeah.
She's kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
But I remembered saying to you relatively recently that until I got here and we'd start having those nights and, you know, with other of my friends as well in LA, I don't think I found, like, my people and especially my female people until I came out here.
Yeah.
And I think my kids seeing that and seeing how much women can do, but also lean on other women and ask for help and realize that family is different and it can change and you can choose who your family is.
Right.
Especially as they watched me have to, you know, cut my mom out of my life.
Right.
Like, we joke about it and they were never very close to her, but I had to do it.
Right.
Like, I had to do it for my own benefit and to be a better mother to my child. It's sad. It makes me sad if she's listening. It makes me sad that we can't have a relationship, but we can't. But I can have healthy relationships with other people. You are
going to get so many random texts.
I know. Emily, cut this all out. Because I'm terrified now. I mean, fucking fuck. I'm going to get from Jerusalem like 5,000 times. And the worst one's going to be when it's like from California. And then I'm going to have to move and change my name and no one's ever going to fucking find me. Like, this is not an invitation to send me crazy pictures of things. I don't know what they are, Mom. I'm just saying. But it's good for my kids.
So you're saying we should have a guard gate at the Mommium is what you're saying.
Oh yeah. Yeah, with like the eye identification, so we really know who it is. You don't have to like look at it.
That feels a little bit counterintuitive to the idea of the commune.
It's just for my mom. You know, everybody.
So basically, so it's not that everyone who puts their eye up to the thing just gets mine. It's that the only one person that puts their eye up gets kept out.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. She does think that she worked for the CIA at some point or something. I don't know. Well, it's a whole thing.
Again.
It had to happen.
It's on wheels.
But it's on wheels. It was a slippery carpet, and now it's Pasadena.
Yeah.
No, I mean, my kids, obviously, they love you. They know they can count on you and on all the women I just mentioned, you know, and on, you know, Karen and Lisa and Auntie Sarah, all those people.
I would love to hear from some of our Never Nationers and our listeners, like, what sort of family, like, different family dynamics did they have set up? Like, what are their communities, what are their, you know, their either their mom groups. I mean, like you were talking about, you know, we've got Little Mamas, which is an amazing support group of women, but it's not necessarily the day-to-day stepping in and out of each other's lives all the time. But some of the, yeah, I mean, there's pockets where a lot of the mamas are close and they've sort of developed those relationships. But I would love to hear what that looks like for different people, because I was really interested when I was reading these articles and thinking about the different examples that I've had of family, whether it be my work family or, you know, my parents or stuff like that. Or, you know, I've got cousins and family in Iowa. But also, like the created family and the family that you have. But there's one of the things that they talked about in this article that is coming out now is an app, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically like single moms finding other single moms to cohabitate with.
That's awesome.
So two single moms moving into an apartment with their kids and helping raise their kids and help, you know, which,
golden,
I mean,
Golden Girls style.
They didn't bring their kids. They were like, past menopause.
But regardless, you know, they decide to live together.
Everything does always come back to the Golden Girls. It does. I applaud you.
And I said
for
regardless, not irregardless. So clearly, at least that has managed to not be a problem today.
They were at least a nuclear family.
Single mom app. Yes.
Right. That's one of the things, but there's also, and they were talking about, and of course this was like Northern California, kind of commune stuff, but where, there's a lot more places now that are offering communal living style apartments where everybody kind of has their own like little room, but then there's a big communal area that's the living room and like an industrial sized kitchen and whatever. And it's almost like dorm life sort of, in that everybody lives there and they, you know, get together, and there's certain nights a week where, okay, like Thursday nights is family dinner night, and everyone in this particular like co-living community brings stuff in and they help create a dinner for all of the people and they like eat together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's so cool. And it sounds so foreign to, you know what I mean, to our sort of modern living style. And yet at the same time, it sounds incredibly modern and also very much like what families used to be. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, wow, what a new idea. Actually, no, that's not a new idea. It's just getting back to the old idea. And that, you know, David Brooks talked about that, is like that it feels like this sudden new shift in the idea of family, but really we're actually kind of coming back full circle to these ideas of extended family and community and, you know, people sitting on their front porch and being, you know, more involved in the day-to-day life of the people that live around, you know, in their neighborhood or whatever.
That's been something here in LA, that when I first moved into my apartment, there's only 5 units in my apartment building, and all of us just became really good friends. And so, you know, they'd watch my kids, I'd watch theirs. Right. We, you know, had like Sunday dinners. If someone would bring things, we'd order, we'd barbecue, and we could all just be out there all the time. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people, you know, move and dynamics change, and that's what's happened. Although there's still two people that live there or families that live there that have been from the beginning.
Right.
And like, so my babysitter, Maya, who I've talked about before and shares a wall with me, like calls me mom and I answer.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's really, she's in her 20s and I could be her fucking mom. So I like really kind of want to die a little bit when she says that to me. Like, I'm always like, shut up.
But you know, I mean, I used to do, and I haven't done it as much anymore. I would like to get back Sunday. Probably spring and summer, but I used to do Sunday dinners and it was
so fun.
It was so fun. And it was, you know, a big group of us and everybody just, I would say like, here's the house is open from, you know, 11 to bring 5. Things. Bring what you want, you know, and it was like everyone just throw the food on the counter.
Yep.
And we'd get the barbecue. The kids ran outside. Kids would go outside. They'd be in the pool. They'd be whatever.
We had the movies.
Oh, yeah, that's outside. Right. I did the screen outside and did movies. And, you know, it's, I think getting back to that, because I realize for me, whenever I do that, I feel like I can take a breath.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like I'm balancing all the plates on my own.
Yeah. Well, and I think you stopped for a while because you were putting, I remember, you putting a lot of pressure on yourself to get the garbage out and have the food and blah, blah, blah. And we all kept being like, Jody, just let us bring stuff.
Right.
Like, and I think if we go back to it that way, it's like when it's sort of more potluck, it's like, that's fine. And then we found all the kids like jumping off the toilet into the bathtub. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we talked about on Brotherton's.
That's right. Yeah.
And we were like, what the fuck is happening? But it's, you know, it's.
Maybe we
it's,
shouldn't go back to doing it.
Actually, I used to really like that a lot because it was just it's just funny because you just, you know, watching the kids, you know, see each other and them playing and like the different dynamics that happen. And we would always end up like one of us would be, you know, lying on the floor laughing over something ridiculous, which I think is great. But it again goes back to like not being able to necessarily ask for help or take help when you're going to be in a community like that. Then you actually also have to open yourself
up. I'd also be interested to hear from some of our Never Nationers, like if. You know, are there any families where there's like a conflict with that, where like one person kind of wants that more communal life of like friends in and out and all this kind of stuff. And the other person's like, yo, I don't want any of this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
How does that resolve itself? How does that come out in your relationship or in your family life? Because some people are very closed off and don't.
Oh yeah. They don't.
Any sort
they don't
of
like
intrusion.
People ever. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, you kind of are or you aren't, but I would be interested to see how those that are feel if they're, you know, married to or with someone that isn't. Like, how do you guys figure that out? And does that mean that one person then has to kind of step up a little bit more or
do you find your own community outside of, which is fine. And by the way, speaking of Never Nationers, we talked about this a little, like we've been getting so many emails from the Never Nationers who have become their own little tribe.
Right.
And they've been sending each other merch from the show. They have discussions about the show. They bond. They talk about family. We've got Grandma Joan all the way down to 16-year-old. I think you're 16, Ellie. I'm sorry if I'm getting your age wrong.
But. Are we in charge then? Does that mean that we're in charge of this Never Nationers tribe?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, good.
I mean, they look to us for
I just
some
wondered if there was
crazy
some sort
fucked
of, like,
up reason. But
if there was like a, I don't know, some sort of a constitution that needed to be.
No, absolutely. We're not.
For
no.
Our, okay. Got
no. I think our constitution is we don't really know what we're fucking doing.
Right.
So please don't expect us to weigh in on anything.
Got it.
I love, though, that we've got moms in there. We've got grandmas in there. We've got kids in there, like our teens in there.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, regular middle of the road people who don't have kids, like they're just single dudes or whatever, like that are in it and they just really like the show and they find that it's funny and honest and whatever. And I think that's so cool that they've become their own little family.
Yes.
And they write us sometimes and say, like, we just want you to see the family that you guys have created. Like,
aww.
They'll send us little notes, which
our
is
progeny.
Adorable. I mean, that's really fucking scary, but I mean, kind of, I guess. And I also want to say, like, as we were talking about, like, not taking help, I'm going to totally out myself for something because you were the one that was like, just fucking take help. So I got sick last week.
Right.
I did not feel well at all. I had a temperature of like 102 and I just refused to take fucking help. Like,
so ridiculous.
I know.
I get it though. I'm the same way.
I couldn't do it. Like,
I'll yell at you about it, but then I'll do the same exact thing.
It's so hard. And yeah. And like, I had helped someone who was sick a week before and that was so easy for me to do. And it was like, oh, no big deal. Like, I'll just, you know, I can bring you over stuff and I'll clean up your house and whatever. Cause you're sick and you need help. And then when I was sick, that same person tried to do it for me. And I was like, nope. And they were like, what the fuck? Like, I mean, literally, that's what I was said to me. What the fuck is wrong? Why that can't work like that? Why can you give and not take? And I wrote you and I was like, I don't know how to do this. You know, and you were like, just let someone be fucking nice to you and take the help. And I had to.
Which the irony of me screaming, just let someone be fucking nice to you is really.
Oh, believe me. The irony of either of us giving each other advice on shit like this is
no,
like
but really I mean, the fact that I yelled it to you and used profanity about someone being nice to you.
Well, that sounded, I wasn't going to listen if you didn't swear at me. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I don't hear that. That's way too calm. But I had to, the whole next day, because I let it happen. And someone actually took care of me. And then the whole next day, I had anxiety through the goddamn roof. I was so uncomfortable about the fact that I let someone help me and I was not in control. And what did that mean? And I had to really understand that it was because I felt vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because when you're helping other people, you're of service to someone. But when you're letting someone help you, you're showing them that you've got.
And so that's, I think, the thing about, you know, these whatever communities, families, groups, whatever it is that you create for yourself. It's like having that give and take.
Yeah.
Having, you know, not being like the leader of the whatever, but allowing people to help you when you need it and asking for help and then helping other people when you need it and having that close circle of friends that you can kind of do that with.
Yeah. And I think we are really lucky. And I hope, you know, I hope all the Never Nationers are feeling that, you know, we love that this is happening.
Yeah.
You guys are building your own community.
We're just so incredibly grateful that the podcast has been fun and that people are enjoying it and that we're still getting to do it. But, this is something I think that is so important to us is that created and forged family.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that you did it with Mamas and, you know, now with Never Nation and all this, like, it just feels really nice to, think that we are bringing people together, Celia.
It's shocking, but I will say when I'm in a really shit
mood. And I'm
also
really proud of us that we made it this about us. We have managed to be such narcissistic assholes that we've been like, you know what's really important?
Us.
We are really important to the well-being of the world.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what though? Honestly, I do love, because I really do love to, obviously I became a therapist, so I love to help people and I know you do too.
Right.
I, of course, like to hear the craptastic parenting moments and all the other shit that people outsource.
Right.
It's awesome. The thing I like the most is when moms write us and they're like, or dads, and they're like, I felt so alone until I heard your podcast. Yeah. And then I realized that I'm not. And it's a whole other community because I'm not perfect. And holy crap, I would never have said out loud that I did X, Y, and Z to my kid. And I felt horrible. And like, nobody talked about it.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fun. And we tell horrible stories and out ourselves. And I think it's sort of, you know, gestalt-y therapy that I'm like, let me just vomit out all the horrible shit that I've done to air all of my own grievances. But to hear from other people, like, no, that was great because it made me be able to be like, yeah, I fucked up too.
So, yeah. Never Nation, whatever your family looks like, whether it's chosen, whether it's blood related, whether it's some strange combination of both, whether it's us because apparently we are the pin that's holding the world together.
God, is that fucking scary?
I think we're more like the pin in the grenade. Really. Actually,
we are the grenade. That's right. Emily's the pin in the grenade.
Right. Yes, for sure.
We are the fucking grenade.
Right. But, you know, I love to hear those stories. So whatever your family looks like, if you have been married, if you've never been married, if you've been divorced more than months, like,
people get divorced more than once, Judy?
Shut up. It's all groovy, man. No,
it's all good, man.
It's all good, man. But it does. It's okay. And like, don't think that it has to look like some perfect little, you know, mom and dad and 2.5 kids. It's two moms, it's two dads, it's single moms, it's single dads, it's cousins, it's grandparents, it's aunties, it's uncles, it's best friends. It's all of it.
Yeah.
It's all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're now my family.
You're my family too. Which is, I will also say, because we did talk about it real fast, or you posted about it, which was, you know, back to my sister. My sister and I had our name called Van Houten. We got a lot of emails about this.
Oh, okay, yes.
So my sister and I called each other Van Houten. It's a dumb story. It doesn't really matter why, but I called her that. She called me that. The last birthday card she ever gave me is part of it is tattooed on my arm and it's got her ashes in it. And it says a heart and Van Houten. So on Jody's birthday, me and my sister's kids, her three older ones, decided to have a necklace made for her that says Van Houten by proxy.
For you.
Yes. And not for my sister. Cause again, she fucked up and died. So you know, that was stupid. But they matched, they took the writing from my tattoo, and recreated her writing. Yeah. And so we got that for Jody for her birthday. It says Van Houten by proxy.
It's a pretty awesome and special gift.
They were thrilled that you posted about it and they were really happy that you, cause you've written them too and done them for them.
Yeah. Well, I check in on them too. You know, it's again, this is what it's all about is creating community, creating family, asking for help, giving love and receiving love when you need it. And you know, God, that sounded so cheesy. Who the fuck am I right now?
I don't know. Do you need me to show you another picture of my ass? Because I can't.
No.
Because that's the other thing.
I just like all of that came out and I was like, oh my God.
Well, we got a little sentimental. So
I know.
We'll just drive back to the fact that I mooned her. It doesn't matter. Like we.
Does fuck it.
It all comes back to my butt and it's fine. Right? Like we're back to being ourselves. Basically, that was a lot of feelings that I'm not comfortable with at all.
It's really funny to watch us how uncomfortable we just got.
Ew.
And Emily's just sitting here like with her hand in her chin.
I know. She's like, this is fascinating.
Yeah. Just like, they have feelings too. These kids, they get so weird. They just got so genuine and now are freaking out.
See, now I'm going to be uncomfortable all day tomorrow. So you're going to have like...
Stop. Look at me in the eye.
Five.
Don't stop looking
at me. Show you my butt right now.
Still not eye contact. That's better.
It's a kind of eye. It's
my butt. Oh my God. Did you just say that? Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
Never let me do a podcast without showering again.
No, I really... You know what? Stop. And we're done. Please save us from ourselves, Emily.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. Never Nation, we're sorry. forgive your failing, flawed leaders. But if you guys want to find us on Instagram and Facebook, where there will not be pictures of Celia's butt,
Who do you think runs those accounts?
Oh my God, Michael Scott, shut up. Celia just fell off her chair. No, if you guys want to find us on Instagram and Facebook, it is at Never Thought I'd Say This. Our email is at what? Wow, shit really came off the rails in the last fight.
People are gonna think
they listened to a really nice, calm episode about loving each other.
And
then they're gonna get to these last like 6 minutes and be like, what the fuck happened?
Well, we broke Emily, clearly. She's broken. Like she's lost it completely. I don't even know.
Our email.
It's crap, never thought I'd.
No, it's not crap, never thought I'd. It's never thought I'd at protonmail.com.
That is right. You got it.
Please email us your family situations, the things that you love, the families you've created, the shit you hate about this podcast. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, email us.
Not pictures of your butt, please.
Please don't.
Please don't.
But yeah, we...
He said butt.
It's happened. We finally have broken each other. Oh, Never Nation, we're going to let you go to save you from the ridiculousness that is our life. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.